One day, I remember one Pastor Copeland was coming by after a long trip, and he just driven several hours. I think he drove from Tulsa, and he was dropping off one of my kids. I think they went with him one time, Bible quizzing trip. And I just looked at him. He just looked so happy, so refreshed. I told my wife, I said, he just looks like a big blessing. Hallelujah. And not the big part, but just a blessing. I mean, I just see a blessing when I look at him. And I just so jolly, so happy, and I'm just blessed. And I know you feel the same way. How many is blessed to have Pastor Copeland as our pastor? Amen. I love him. Love his wife, his family. Give honor to them. We want our pastor to come preach the word of the Lord to us tonight.
Well, thank you for part of that. Hallelujah. Let me make an announcement right here. TNT Fireworks, please bring your coupons to Brother Stroop or Brother Robier. Those wanting to help, please see Brother Robier. This is always a wonderful, wonderful blessing to our church. Seems like it always comes at the nick of time. Well, let's stand tonight. So good to have everyone here tonight. Good to have our guest here tonight. Good to have Sister Beverly's family with us tonight. God bless them so much. And everyone else, I want to give honor and praise tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ for sparing a precious little life here. Joanna Dempsey just almost lost her life in the swimming pool yesterday. Thank the Lord for her mother that jumped in and got her out. And I thank God so much for Sister Courtney Robertson reviving her and saving her life. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ helped her to do that. We give praise to the Lord and we give thanks to these ladies. God has been so good to us. It could have been so different than what it is. I got the news right in the middle of it, and just was very disturbed and crying out to the Lord, please help us. And I know some other people got serious reports, but it all came out all right as far as we know. I think maybe be released from the hospital in the morning, but everything's looking good, and we thank the Lord so much for that. You know, folks, we live in a real uncertain world. We don't know what another day will hold for us, and that's why we need to always walk closer to the Lord, and anyway, make up in our mind, it doesn't matter what happens. We're going to live for the Lord. We're headed to a better place. And we're not going to let anything destroy us. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. And this will be the 10th lesson in this psalm. And we will be looking at the portion of Scripture, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Would you help me tonight? Would you pray for me tonight? That God can help me to express the feeling of my heart and this beautiful passage of Scripture here tonight. God, we love you. We need you. Pray that you would help me tonight, God. God, that I can speak clearly, God. That I can speak with understanding, God. Lord, that those that hear will understand, God, what you're wanting to say. We need your help, God. We need your help today, God. I pray for your help today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we love you and we praise you, God. And we adore you, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. 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 God bless you, and you can be seated. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I remind you tonight that the psalmist in this beautiful chapter is giving us an account of events of a full year in the life of a sheep. The psalmist takes us with him from the home ranch where everything seems to be there and available. Every need is so carefully supplied by the shepherd. Takes us out into the green pastures and beside the still waters, through the mountain valleys, to the high tablelands of summer. This beautiful high country of clear running streams and grass fresh and tender, and a table that has been so carefully and beautifully prepared. The poisonous plants have been pulled up and destroyed, and the predator is held at bay. You might think in all of that, and now it's the beginning of summertime, that it's time to now relax and let down on our guard. But suddenly we find a fly in the ointment, so to speak. And living for God, thank God for the mountaintop experiences. I thank God for the times of refreshments that come from the presence of the Lord. I thank the Lord for banquet time in the presence of our enemies, that God spreads a table before us. And even in our high times, but even in our high times and times like Sunday night explosions, we must still be on guard. Ecclesiastes 10 and 1 says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. In the sweetest of situations, when everything seems to be rosy, if we're not careful, flies can come in, and what is meant to be a good smell becomes a stinky situation. In the terminology of a shepherd, summertime is fly time. We are beginning the summer season. Has anybody noticed any flies? Hallelujah. They're so faithful in their service to us. And I combated a fly even this morning. And fly time is what they call it. Hordes of insects emerge with the advent of warm season, warm weather. People that are familiar with livestock knows what it is, the serious problem for animals when insects in the summertime are in such an enormity. I've seen animals that was just, you could tell they were just miserable by all the flies that had just consumed them round about. A few parasites that trouble stock and bother sheep and make their life miserable. There's the warble flies, bot flies, heel flies, nose flies, deer flies, blade flies, mosquitoes and gnats, and probably a lot more than that. Their escape or their attack on sheep can turn a golden summer into a time of torture and can drive sheep to distraction. Sheep are especially troubled with the nose fly. These little flies buzz around the sheep's head, attempting to deposit their eggs on the damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. If they're successful in depositing their eggs, they will hatch in a few days and form small, slender, worm-like larvae. They begin to work their way into the nasal passages. Doesn't this sound just delicious? Into the sheep's head. And they'll bury themselves in the flesh and cause intense irritation and severe inflammation.
and trying to get relief from these insects. It is an agonizing annoyance, and these sheep will begin to deliberately beat their heads against trees and rocks and fence posts and brush. In some cases, sheep will literally kill themselves trying to relieve themselves of the aggravation. The infection sometimes even leads to blindness. And when the flies begin to hover over a flock of sheep, the sheep become very frantic with fear, and they panic and they attempt to escape the tormentors. They'll stamp their feet erratically and race from place to place in the pasture trying to elude the flies. Some of them will run so much that they'll finally drop in exhaustion. Others will toss their heads up and down for hours. They will try to hide in any bush or wooded area. Now, all this excitement and distraction has a devastating effect upon the entire flock. You lambs and their little offsprings begin to drop in weight when insects are not controlled. The ewes quit giving milk, and the lambs do not mature and grow. Some sheep will be injured in their headlong rushes. Others are blinded, and some are even killed. Only by the shepherd paying strict attention to what's going on the pasture and among the sheep can the difficulties of fly time be forestalled. At the very first sign of flies among the flocks, the shepherd's got to be on top of the situation to apply an antidote to their heads. A homemade remedy composed of linseed oil and sulfur and tar is smeared upon the sheep's nose and head as a protection against the nose flies. There's an incredible transformation that immediately comes over the sheep once the oil is applied to the sheep's head. An immediate change in behavior can be seen. It takes place once the anointing takes place. Gone is the aggravation, gone is the frenzy, gone is the irritability, and there is rest. Instead, the sheep start to feed quickly again, and then soon lie down in peaceful contentment. I believe when we hear this and think of this, we've got to have some very good comparisons with our Christian life that we are living. And our greatest spiritual experiences that we may have in life, there's still always some petty annoyances in life that try to ruin our repose. It doesn't matter how high that we may get on a Sunday night. Hallelujah. Sometimes it becomes so high that we feel like that we are in heavenly places. Yet it is amazing what Monday morning can do. Monday morning can do before we can even get out the front door. Some pesky fly lands on the little end of our nose. And we get to work, and there's more flies at work, and there's all kinds of things that are happening and annoying us and trying to bring a toll upon our spirituality. These little tormentors will drive us to a point of wanting to beat our brains out. And as the days begin to grind by, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and finally Thursday, hallelujah, sometimes it's not always a big thing, but it's just a little thing that finally transforms us from Dr. Jekyll into Mr. Hyde. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to take something horrific happening. It's just the constant buzz of a few little pests finding a moist landing strip to lay their cargo in our mind. Before we know it, we go from green pastures and still waters on Sunday morning and from Sunday night banquet parties to Thursday afternoon breakdowns and free-for-alls where we beat our heads against the rocks and the trees. Hallelujah. Sunday night winged angel all of a sudden becomes a red-eyed devil by Thursday. And sometimes we ask the question, how can this thing be? Hallelujah. How can we ascend the heights and have such peace, and before the week is over, have such chaos? How can we have such power from God Almighty and end up having such problems? Hallelujah. From lofty heights to dark depths, we begin to wonder, is there really something to this or not? Did God really anoint me Sunday night in the middle of everything that was going on? Jesus anointed and called 12 apostles. And then he said, have not I chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil. Can one have such an anointing of heaven and fall so far? Let me tell you the answer. With sheep, there must be a continual and renewed application of oil. Flies will come back. They will work their work. One application is never enough. Some folks try to live all week on Sunday night's blessings, Sunday night's anointings. But flies get into the ointment, and before the next Sunday, things are stinking all over again. If there's a lesson we need to learn the lesson that we need constant help from God, and that we are dependents, and that we've got to have his anointing. When we get up on Monday morning, we need some of the stuff that we was anointed with Sunday night to be rubbed on our pumpkin head to try to help us. And when Tuesday morning comes, we need the same thing to happen. And when Wednesday morning comes, we need the same anointing rubbed up on us. And when Thursday comes, and when we get to next Sunday night, we need to realize that we need the anointing. He anointeth my head with oil. Some are content with just one anointing. And in my young years of life, there was a product that guys put on their hair that made them look like they was coming out of the 50s and the early 60s. Some greasy stuff called Brill Cream. Their advertisement was, a little dab will do you. Just a little dab will do you. It'll grease you up. It'll anoint your head. And there won't be a fly be able to land on it without sliding down. Their attitude was, or their advertisement was, a little dab will do it. I want to tell you, that don't need to be our philosophy concerning the need of the Holy Ghost anointing our minds, anointing our hearts, anointing our lives. We need a daily anointing. I want to tell you, it just don't last always. It don't last all day. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's some people we will never have control over them. They're beyond our control. There's some circumstances in life that are just there and they're not going to change. There's some events that will attack us that are beyond our control. We are still living in a real world. You know, the high priest would enter into the holiest of holy. And when he would enter into that very holy place, hallelujah, it was filled with the Shekinah glory of God. The light that was inside there was the light of God Almighty that dwelt between the cherubims. And the high priest would walk into that place. And I want to tell you, his head was in the glory. But they tell me that he was commanded not to go in there with shoes on. He went in there without shoes on. He went barefooted. And so his head was in the glory of the tabernacle, but his feet was on the ground. And I want to tell you, our feet are still on the ground. It don't matter how much we jump and how much we holler and how much we shout and how much we get into a holy place. Hallelujah. Our feet are still on the ground. Hallelujah. We're on the ground. We're where the fleas are at, where the flies are at. Hallelujah. But we need to keep our head in the clouds. When the gears of life begin to grind, it's amazing what a little oil will do. Summertime for the sheep is fly time. And so they had to contend with that. But there was more than that. There was something else called scab time. There were sheep that would get scab. Scab is an irritating and highly contagious disease common among sheep around the world. It's caused by a minute microscopic parasite that thrives in warm weather. Scab can spread throughout a whole flock by direct contact. Hallelujah. Sheep love to rub their heads against each other in affection and in a friendly manner. Scab oftentimes is most commonly around the head. And so when two sheep begin to rub heads together, the infection spreads readily from one to the other. In the Old Testament, when it was declared that a sacrificial lamb should be without blemish, did you know that the number one foremost disqualifier of a sheep being the sacrificial lamb is that it possibly had scab? It was the number one problem. So in a very real and direct sense, scab is significant of contamination of sin and evil. Again, as with the flies, the only effectual antidote was to apply the oil and the sulfur and other chemicals to the sheep. It was to anoint them. Many times there were dipping vats that had to be built. And the reason they had to be built is because the entire flock had the scab or was close to having it. And they would build a big vat and they would put the liquid in there, and every animal would be dipped into the vat. I have seen times in this church that every one of us needed a dipping. I've seen times in this church when all of a sudden something just went through the congregation, and everywhere you looked, it looked like the scab. And so there's times that God has to help us. There's times that we're not where we need to be. There's times as a congregation, a spirit of lackadaisical just attitudes and and just being carnal and being less than spiritual and in our walk with God, that God needs to come and dip us all over again. When things that are affecting us that shouldn't be affecting us and getting our attention that should not be getting our attention. And so many times these dipping vats have got to be built. Each animal had to be completely submerged until its whole body was soaked. Yet after all of this, it is the head that was the hardest to treat. And many times the shepherd would have to go back and personally, by hand, with great care, treat the head of certain sheep. He anointed my head with oil. In the Christian life, it all starts out with the baptism of anointing. Hallelujah. When we came to God, we were all diseased by sin. We had things messed up in our mind and our thinking, and we had habits and things that had gotten a hold of us that controlled our lives. Hallelujah. And so we were diseased by sin, and we had to pass through the blood of Jesus Christ, through God's dipping vat. But in our living for God, there are times when, if we're not careful, there can be a recurring of scab in our life. Hallelujah. We can fool around after receiving the Holy Ghost and being delivered and being set free. Hallelujah. That we come in contact with scab and we become filthy and unclean, and there's a recurring of this disease. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh in dry places seeking rest. And findeth none, he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it also be unto this wicked generation. I want to tell you, God has the ability and the power to cleanse us and to redeem us and to purchase us with his own precious blood. Hallelujah. We are here tonight because of the change that came in our life, because of the deliverance, because of the power of the antidote. Hallelujah. That delivered us from those things that had bound us and was destroying us. But can I tell you that just because you get delivered doesn't mean you're always going to be delivered. Hallelujah. I remember several years ago, a young man came to me and he said, you know, I really want to pray through in this revival. I want to get an experience that I'll never have to face temptation again. Well, I let him know there's no such experience like that. Hallelujah. You don't just get the Holy Ghost one time and hold on to it and never have a problem and never have a struggle and never have something that comes that tries, hallelujah, to deceive you all over again. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, the devil returns. The devil comes back. Sin and the devil and disease and all of these things that are going to destroy us makes a return and tries to gain entrance into the house. Challenges the change in our life. Hallelujah. Most of the time, the attack starts with the mind. People get carnal. People get away from the anointing. The devil starts feeding them stuff. Filling their mind with stuff. Filling our mind with stuff. Let's make it personal. And then all of a sudden we're listening. And Satan, the great persuader, if we listen to him as he continues to talk, I want to tell you, he's going to implant something in our minds that's going to be a lie. It's going to be contagious. He's going to lay his eggs, hallelujah, in a very ripe area of our life that we struggle with possibly. I want to warn this congregation, the temperature of this world is changing. Everything is radically changed, at least everything that is pure and clean and holy. Let me just read something that I was reading Fox News today. It was under the opinions area of Fox News. The top said this: Democrats, LGBT activists have sinister plan to crack down on Christian schools. And here it is. If California Democrats have their way, Christian colleges and universities will no longer be allowed to require students attend chapel service or require them to profess a relationship with Jesus Christ. Senate Bill 1146 would close a loophole that lawmakers say allows Christian universities to discriminate against students based on their gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation. All students deserve to feel safe in institutions of higher education, regardless of whether they are public or private. California has established strong protections for the LGBTQ. I wonder what they're going to add next. Community and private universities should not be able to use faith as an excuse to discriminate and avoid complying with state laws. Legislation has already passed the Senate. Now, this has already passed the Senate and is expected to clear hurdles in the Assembly. Thus far, Laura has refused to compromise with the state's Christian college and universities. No university should have the license to discriminate, he said in the statement. If the loophole is closed, it will only exempt schools that prepare students for pastoral ministry. We would no longer be able to require a profession of faith for students. So, we're in trouble. They make these things the law. We're breaking the law if we don't agree with this stuff. I want to tell you, the devil is attempting to control our minds. The liberal world is trying to control our thinking and tell us what to think. through the media, through internet, and cell phones. We go through all this stuff. I'm going to tell you, we're being told what to buy, what to wear, how to act, what to think, what to believe. And you know what? If you listen to something long enough, you're going to start believing it. And so what happens when people are constantly, they're just kind of, they're surfing around the net and just constantly looking this and that, listening to all kinds of stuff. Companies spend millions of dollars for a 30-second advertisement during the Super Bowl. You know why they do that? They do that because it's working. They do that because a couch potato with his brain kicked in neutral can be made to believe anything. Now, if that's the case on 30 seconds, how about 30 minutes of sitting in front of a sitcom where they're arguing about how stupid the rest of the world is not to accept transvestites and gender problems, and they're believing everything psychology vomits out as if they have the answers, you know. And you know what? It's in this church. It's attacking the members of this church from the pulpit to the back door. If we're not careful, we're going to listen to these things and listen to, in fact, right now, we're much calmer than we ought to be, considering what is literally happening right now in America and in the world. And so the devil feeds our mind. He lays his eggs in our mind. And, starting out early in children's minds. You hear it all the time. If you turn on Christian radio, you might hear a little bit of it. You won't hear it in the media of some of these outlandish books that they produce to give the pre-K kids and first graders on sex and who you can marry. Yeah, I went through one of them. No natural thing. You can marry a flower. You can marry your dog. You can marry your best friend. And had pictures of the same sex. Not one picture of a man and a woman. And putting that in our schools. I'm going to tell you something else. Disney is one of the biggest promoters of perversion for little kids. And some of us don't have enough sense to stay away from Disney movies. We think, you know, that's not going to hurt my little child. I'll tell you what you're doing. You're building a bridge for that child. As they get older, they're going to get a taste for all that stuff. It's putting it in their mind. If we ever needed our heads anointed, we need our minds anointed right now. We need something to happen to us. I'm going to get real plain tonight. Just a while back, I don't remember, maybe a year ago, there was a discussion in one of our Sunday school classes. Now, I want to tell you, I don't know who took what side, but I want to tell you something. There was questions about same-sex marriage and what we ought to do. And there were people raised in this church that wanted to make excuses. We need our brains anointed. We need our minds anointed. We need help us. God to help us with our minds. Romans chapter 7 verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear as sin, working death. I want to tell you, when we're trafficking in sin and we're listening to the devil and following him, we're working death in our life. There's things that are dying. I've heard some statements from backsliders that blow my mind. I can't believe that they've gone so far. It's the words of hate is what it sounds like. They've lost their way. They've lost their revelation of truth. They've gone too long without a reviving of the mind. Not by works of righteousness have we been saved, but by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We need our minds to be renewed. Sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. I'm not here to compromise. If they put me in jail, I'm not here to compromise. The perversion, the twisted lives, what's happening to our world. Hallelujah. And we could mention things worse than that happening. I read another article about Scandinavian countries and what's happening over there. Just brute beast. But the atmosphere can't change real drastically on the outside of this building and not affect the inside. We got the air conditioners going. It don't feel too cool to me right now. It may just be that I'm heated a little bit. But the climate is changing. And the only way we can retain our sound mind, we've got to be anointed. It's not hard to believe in God and the things of God when you're in the very presence of God. It's not hard to question. You don't question the things of God. It's when we drift away. It's when we hadn't been anointed in a while. It's when we think we can figure things out. When we become so independent, hallelujah, our world is twisted. Never has there been so many high-priced clothes hung on so many low-priced people as in our world. They applaud the perversion. That's right. Man has been deified and God has been humanized. And self has been glorified. But oh, that we can see sin, that it might appear sin. That we could see the danger of just one little whatever it is planted in our mind. Well, what's the big deal about living holy? It's a real big deal about living holy. It's being modest. It's being moderate. It's being a reflection of a Christian. It's something that everybody just about knew back in the 1900s. Why did they all run around in dresses and covered? God help us. God touch our minds. God help us to see our need of revival, Lord. Help us to be tender before you. God help us to be dependents every day of our life. Help us to be dependents, God. Help us to be quick to repent. Help us to be quick, God, to wash our minds. And rebuke every evil thought. Not to dwell on wickedness. Not of our information from outside sources. Oh God, protect our young people, God. Protect our young people from all the things that they're witnessing. It's like a flood. God, protect our middle-aged folk, God, raising their family when all of a sudden the cause of the world and of sin and rebellion gets a hold of them. Help us to realize we've got to maintain our integrity and be Christians and live for you, God. In the name of the Lord, help me as pastor, God. Some way, somehow, help me, God, to be able. Oh, God, help me to be able, God. To help control some of these things. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. 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 We don't want to lose our children. Hallelujah. We don't just refuse to do things because they're sin. We refuse to do things that lead to sin. We don't need just around here between the church and the world. Hallelujah. We can do this, I think, and get by. We can do that and get by. Oh God, there are things that tend to lead us into compromise. Hallelujah. But the best defendant, our heads got to be anointed with oil. And our cups got to run over. There's got to be that running over. Oh, that purifying, that cleansing. Hallelujah. Thou anointest my head with oil. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, the opposition is unbelievable. Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, one right after the next right for the church being cut down. Right here in America, Bibles taken out of libraries and schools. Just a couple of weeks ago, a big push. Hospitals and libraries and all kinds of places, waiting rooms. Jesus, help us today, God. Help the Word of God to get deep down inside of us. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you, the doors are shutting. The gates are shutting. It's evening time. The trumpets are sounding. And the Old Testament times when the sound would be sent out. The sun is setting. It's closing time. You better get inside the place of safety. Hallelujah. There's trumpets that are sounding. There's warnings to wake up. We don't need to be lethargic. We don't need to be passive. We need to get aggressive. So many people that are wandering in sin. Backsliders. Oh, God, save our backsliders, God. Speak to them, God. Oh, give them a moment of sanity in an insane world. Give them a moment of understanding reality, God. Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Help me pray right now. Oh, God, in your name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to say something tonight. I want to say something I meant to say that I forgot to say. Hallelujah. Cell phones is going to send a bunch of people to hell. It's going to send a bunch of Pentecostals to hell. And it is ridiculous for us to put something in the hand of our kids that's like a rattlesnake without any protection. I'm going to tell you, you need to wake up. Every cell phone we have, every computer we have has got filters on it, and they've got a recording program that shows every site that is visited. You know why we have that? Because we need that. We need help. There's too many things flashing and reaching and trying to get a hold of us. We need to know that there's somebody that can look and see what's going on. It's criminal to take a little boy and hand them something like that without any protection. I remember when women used to cry when some little boy might be exposed to somebody's house or somewhere with pornography. But now they've got things in the palm of our hands. What are we going to do about it? You so busy doing your own thing that you don't have time to check on what's going on? We better protect ourselves. We better protect our children. And even at that, it's just an enormous challenge. We need to be praying, God, if something gets by us, show it to us. Help us to see it. What's happening to Pentecost? It's everywhere. And I'm going to tell you, we're more knowledgeable about the world and movies, movie stars, the scum of the earth. We as Pentecostals are more knowledgeable than we've ever been in all of our life. And so in having knowledge, it gives a seedbed for something overnight to grow up. Lord, if it's great tribulation on God, send it before we perish. If it's going to have to be something like that, instead of us just loving Jesus and praying through and getting our heads anointed, God, if you have to do something to draw a line that is such a direct line of demarcation that nobody has to wonder where we're at, and you either step over the line or you don't, if that's what it takes, God, please do it for us. Do it for us, God. We're going to have to fight to save ourselves. We're going to have to fight to save our children. We can't just be passive and say it'll take care of itself. It's not going to take care of itself. Hallelujah. Getting on the line and the internet and hooking up with somebody you don't even know, except you know a voice. End up running off and getting married. If you want the blessing of the Lord, you better pursue it. You better pursue it. We need to be running after God. Hallelujah. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. God, anoint my head with oil. Anoint my head with oil. Touch my mind, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. What you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? You know, if you're not going to do something about this stuff, if you're just determined you're not going to do it, you ought to find another place to go to church. God help us. God help us. Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh. Oh, God, save us. Only you can save us. Protect us, God. Put a hedge around us, God. Oh, God, put a hedge around us, God. Help us, Jesus. Oh, the Lord is our shepherd. The self-sufficient one is our shepherd. The Almighty One is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Oh, we don't have to want. I don't know what you're going to use to accommodate us and help us. We got to have it, Lord. We got to have it, Jesus. Oh, good shepherd, good shepherd, good shepherd, good shepherd. Walk along with us, God. Walk along with us. Anoint our eyes that we can see. Open our ears that we can hear, oh God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord, 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 in the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Let's cry out to the Lord tonight. Come on, cry out to the Lord tonight. Oh, help us, Jesus. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Oh, God, be with us, oh Lord. Be with us, oh Lord. Be with us, oh God. Oh, God, don't let a contamination spread throughout this church, God. Oh, God, I rebuke every unclean thing in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, don't let us perish, God. Don't let us lose our children, God. Oh, Rio Cotoriando, Yolobo, Sianda, Yalaba, Sayai. Oh, God, in thy name, 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 in thy name. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help our people, God. Help our people, God. Help our people, God. Help our people, God. Oh, Jesus, deliver us from iniquity, oh God. Blot out our transgressions, oh God. Create in us a clean heart, oh God, and renew thy spirit within us. Cast us not away from thy presence, neither take the Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation, and uphold us with thy free spirit. Oh, God. Help us not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but have our delight to be in the law of the Lord. And in that law, help us to meditate both night and day. Help us to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand and lift our hands and thank God for being a merciful God, a mighty God, a saving God, the great shepherd, the good shepherd that loves us. Oh, shalom hosianna yarabakata yarabahaya. Oh, Jesus, 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 God. Thank you for our church, God. Oh, God, help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Oh, Shiata Yalabaho, Yanda Yalabaha, Sanda Yalabaha. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, 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 in the name of the Lord. Oh, Shatta Yadaboho Kianda Yadabaha Sanda Yalabahayai. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm fixing to let you go tonight, but I want you to listen to me one more time. I want to show you how far that we've drifted. When internet first came out and it became available, we asked this church not to have internet. It was a time when there were not things required of internet like there is today. Don't get internet and bring it in your home unless you've got to do a job. Stay away from internet. Southern Baptist Convention. How many people are familiar with the Southern Baptist Convention? The largest Baptist denomination, I guess, in the world. They wrote an article and they sent it to all of their preachers and their attendees, and there were rules for the road. I wish I had a copy of it, but I know some of it. Rules for the road in handling internet and preference all of this, they gave out warnings about how dangerous this internet was. And so they gave some rules for the road. One rule for the road was, do not surf the internet. Now, this is back how many years ago? This is the Baptists. This is the people that are constantly arguing whether the Bible is to be taken literally or not. And I admire them for all the good things, but here they're saying, don't get on the internet unless you have to get on the internet. It was already causing calamity in ministers' lives. Don't get on the internet unless you know what you're going for. Get it and get off of the internet. How many is doing that now? We're not doing it now. All kinds of things, almost everything under the sun is available on the internet. But I want to tell you, I'm worried about people that surf the internet. I mean, they're just looking for something. They're just opening up their arms and said, all right, what do you got to give me? That's when it becomes like television. Don't just get on it and surf it. It's a very, very dangerous thing that's come to us. This is the Baptist. Don't get on the internet late at night. It's such a dangerous thing. When you're half awake and you're weary and tired, stay away from the internet. I mean, it's an instrument of great damage and evil. Just whatever you have to do to get on, be sure you don't do it late at night, especially when everybody's asleep. That's still dangerous, ain't it? Still very dangerous. We've had people leave their companions because they'd been on the internet for hours in the night and had a little flirtation going on, and it led to what it always leads to, destruction, and never gives the happiness that it promises. Don't have a computer in a bedroom by yourself. Don't have a computer in your bedroom. Don't have a computer in your living room if it's turned away from where everybody can see what's going on. That's how dangerous they felt like it was. What they were saying is, you can't handle this thing. The Baptists were saying, you can't handle this thing by yourself. Anybody remember any of the other ones? And then it became a very normal thing. And the devil built another little box to put us in, to where it's beyond us. I've often used the illustration of Samson going to Delilah and Joseph going to Potiphar's house. He went to Delilah's house because he knew what he was going for. And he destroyed him, Samson. Joseph found himself presented with the same enticement, but he refused. The difference was that he was in a place that he had to be. I'm going to tell you, there's things that have come up on us now. There's no way to get around it. There's no way of getting around it. It's not like you choose to go somewhere. It's something that you have to do now. Unless you go off in the woods somewhere and try to live. You got enough money to live the rest of your life or whatever. But now here we are, and it's all around us. And there's mechanisms that there's plans that people have. You say, well, it costs $9 a month or whatever it is. It's worth $9. You go out to eat and spend more than that on one meal for a month to put a protection. And somebody that is accountable, that you're accountable to. I'm going to tell you, we better address this in this church. It's already too late. But I want to tell you, God can forgive and deliver and set free. And I'm not implying that everybody's guilty or most people are guilty, but there's people here that's got problems, and it's a battle. But God forgives. And you need to make a provision. You need to lock some doors and shut some windows and get some reports. Now, if you don't want to go to heaven, well, just forget it. You know, if you don't want to live right, if you want to slip around, nothing's going to be any good anyway to you. These are things to slow it down when your old flesh all of a sudden the light comes on. And the tempter is there. If you really, really want to do right, God's going to help you. All right. But you see, I'm talking about the progress that we've all made. We've all made it. And you know what? Every person that gets full of the devil and leaves the church and becomes reprobate has got access to all you folks that just keep up with it all the time. Anything the devil wants to whisper in your ear, you're going to be ready to hear it. You stay in contact with all the latest. And then you think about the garbage. You think about the garbage. You think about the gossip. I want to tell you, when there's much talk going on, there's no lack of sinning. Is that is basically about what it says. There's no lack of sinning. When you find people that run their mouth, just let them run it. Just it won't be long and sin will poke its head up. So what, you know, we used to preach about that 20 years ago. What about now? Just constantly. And the more you connect with people, I don't know how you get anything done. Anyway, okay. Everybody happy? Yes. I'm going to tell you this. God's going to have to help me. I can't handle it. I'm trying to handle it. I can't handle it in myself. If I would let it, it's going to run me crazy. The Holy Ghost has got to help me, and the Holy Ghost got to help you help me. We got to have more prayer around here. We've got to have more humility and getting down on our face and saying, God, you got to help me. You got to run. How many believes God will run interference for you if you'll let him do it? He'll be ahead of you. And not only that, the Bible says that he'll be our rear reward. That's behind us. And he'll be on all sides of us. But we're going to have some major help. You know, nobody's trying to hurt you when we're trying to, you know. Anyway, God bless you. In Jesus' name. Let's be praying this week. Pray for a great weekend if the Lord tarries. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does the Bible say about it? Except that days be shortened, the very elect. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's going to get so bad, the cream of the crop. The elect. He's going to have to shorten the days if the elect be saved. Hallelujah. We better hang our hat right there and say, I'm not going to let anything shake me. I'm not going to let anything shake me. I want to be saved. I wonder if somebody wants the Holy Ghost here right now. Is anybody here tonight like to come to the altar tonight and receive the Holy Ghost? I want to tell you, Jesus loves you tonight. We got at least a half a dozen people here tonight or more that needs the Holy Ghost right now. You ought to get in a hurry about it. Hallelujah. The Lord's waiting. He's calling. What about? God, we love you tonight. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the precious people that are here tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you go with us, Lord. I pray, God, the rest of this week, Lord, that we would humble ourselves, seek your face, and pray, fast, touch you all fresh and over again. Anoint our heads with oil, God. In Jesus' name, we believe you, God. In your name, amen. God bless you. Dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.